Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Can you pull the curtains, please? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So how's the volume? How is the... It's okay? All right. Should be okay. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, devotees. Welcome to our 16th evening session of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We hope you're finding it interesting and nice. Thank you very much for attending and participating. We appreciate your presence a lot and your sincere interest. Thank you very, very much. So anyway, this evening we are continuing on in the third chapter of the first part, which is about the visit to Shivaloka and then the recommendation for going to Vaikuntha and meeting the devotees of Vaikuntha. There are 86 verses, if I remember correctly. And we have completed 53. We have completed, let me just check, 53, that's correct. We have completed 53. And it's all Lord Shiva, just glorifying the devotees in Vaikuntha and their elevated consciousness, pure. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Chadesh Tarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkavatarubhyas cha kripa sindubhyevacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Brihad Bhagavatam Rita ki jai. Srila Sanatan Goswami ki jai, Gopremanandi. Alright, so we are carrying on now with verse 54. Lord Shiva is speaking, as I just said. So he says, though living within the material world in bodies composed of the five elements, persons expert in relishing devotional service to the Lord are always worshipable for persons like me. So, there's a purport here. A short purport, but it's an interesting point. That it doesn't really matter where a person is, if they're in Vaikuntha consciousness, yes. The main thing is the consciousness, the state of mind. And of course, to actually be in Vaikuntha, that's very nice. And Lord Shiva will actually mention that it's good, if possible, it's good to be in Vaikuntha. But still the point is there, important point, that even if you're not actually in Vaikuntha, the place, but if you're in the Vaikuntha consciousness, then that's good enough. Yes. If you are, as he says here, although living within the material world and bodies composed of the five elements, persons expert in relishing devotional service to the Lord are always worshipable for people like me, means Lord Shiva. Yes, so ultimately this is the point. Even though it's good to be in Vaikuntha, it's nice, but the main thing is to be in Vaikuntha consciousness. That's very much the main thing. And actually, there is one example, interesting example, which appears in Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 4, mainly. This is the story of Maharaj Ambarish being cursed by Durvasa Muni. So the point in this regard is that Durvasa Muni, he was in danger due to his own stupidity. And he was trying to escape the danger physically by running. And finally, well, he was running and stopping, meeting different demigods and asking them for help, how to escape this Sudarshan Chakra. But no one could help him. In the end, he met Lord Shiva. He met the same Lord Shiva. and explained briefly the problem to him. And Lord Shiva told him that, "I'll make a special arrangement. You can enter Vaikuntha and ask the Supreme Lord how to escape this danger." So Lord Shiva allowed Devasa to enter Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha, the actual Vaikuntha, means the spiritual world. It's the completely transcendental spiritual world of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. It's very different, completely different, like polar opposite of the material world. Material world, everything is temporary, full of misery and full of ignorance. In the spiritual world, everything is eternal, full of bliss, and full of knowledge. So, yes, the spiritual world is like that. And to enter there, normally you have to be in this pure Vaikuntha consciousness. Devasa Muni was not in that consciousness. He was in terrible anxiety. Kunta means anxiety, and Vai means without. So Vaikuntha means that place, which is just completely free from misery. So Devasa Muni, even though he was not qualified at all, he was not ready at all, but by the special arrangement of Lord Shiva, just on a temporary basis, Devasa Muni was allowed into Vaikuntha. But when he was in Vaikuntha and he met the Supreme Lord, then he, because he was not qualified, then even though he was in the place, he did not get that Vaikuntha experience of bliss and freedom from anxiety and different things of that, of those sorts. Rather, there he was in Vaikuntha, the place which is meant to be free from anxiety, but he was Kunta. He was anxious. He was terribly anxious. So the main thing is the consciousness. If you're in the material world, which is not a nice place, but you're in Vaikuntha consciousness, then you'll be in ecstasy. Even if you have to go to hell. Yes. So, and on the other hand, even if you're in Vaikuntha like Devasa Muni was, but you're not in the consciousness, still, you'll be in a bad condition. Even though you're in that place, still you'll be in the bad condition. So the foundational factor is to change one's consciousness. And that's what Lord Shiva's talking about here. That ultimately it doesn't really matter where you are geographically. Because as long as you're in the consciousness, you'll be in ecstasy. Heaven or hell or the spiritual world or whatever it is, if you're in the consciousness, you'll be in bliss. Yes, and indeed, those devotees there in Vaikuntha, Lord Shiva says here, that they're so advanced, they're so expert in relishing devotional service to the Lord. Lord Shiva says, they're always worshipable for people like me. People like me, he says, is being very humble. And there's a quote, there's a purport here. And there's a quote from the Hayashirsha Pancharatra about it's Lord Shiva again speaking and making basically the same point or very, very similar point. To those who have come under the influence of pure devotion for Vishnu and have therefore abandoned their worldly religious duties and profitable endeavors just to worship the soul of souls. So to them, I constantly offer my repeated respects. Yes. Tebyo means to them, nityam, eternal, namo namaha, obeisances, respects. Okay. So, continuing on, verse 55. Such expert relishers surrender themselves fully to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, hoping to obtain exclusive love for him. They abandon their wealth, their families, and their very lives. Wow. That it's so much nectar. It's just so much nectar that in order to get it as much as possible, those devotees, he describes them as the expert relishers. That's amazing, isn't it? What a term. The expert relishers. In order to get that nectar, the nectar beyond all other nectars, these devotees surrender fully to the lotus feet of Krishna. They don't hold back. And they give up their wealth, families, and their very lives just as if they practically don't exist. 56. They are not interested in any of the means and ends of success in this world or the next. They have gone beyond subservience to the rules that apply according to birth, occupation, and spiritual status. Okay, so yeah, they've just completely gone beyond all these standards of life. On the material level, within this material world. And 57, even if they have not repaid their three debts and are therefore transgressing Vedic principles, by the power of their devotion to Lord Hari, they are always fearless. So, there are three debts of every conditioned soul. That means debts to the demigods, debts to the parents, and debts to the sages, the saintly people who give directions and like that. So those are the three debts mentioned here in this verse 57. And the point is that, well, the first point is that, generally speaking, if someone is caught up in this material world, then they have these three debts to their parents who've brought them into the world and brought them up and trained them and seen they get educated and all that. So that's one type of debt. Another one is to the demigods. And then the other is to the sages and saintly people. So even the thing is that by fulfilling those debts, paying off those debts, one becomes liberated. That's the point. And you don't need to look around and where will I get enjoyment? Can I get it here? Can I get it there? No, no, no. Due to one's Krishna consciousness, one always remains free of any type of material attractions. So yes, to the demigods, the parents and the sages, those are the three debts. Even if you have not paid them off, but still you're engaged fully in devotional service, just carry on like that. Just carry on like that. And don't be in anxiety that, you know, these debts are there, and how, if I haven't paid them off, by the time I die, then I'm going to get so many karmic reactions. Don't worry about that. Because devotional service is so powerful. By the power, the verse says, Lord Shiva says, by the power of their devotion to Lord Hari, they are always fearless. They're always fearless. All right. And verse 58. Greedy to taste the pleasure of devotion to him, they have no desire for anything else. To them, liberation, heaven, and hell all appear the same. Wow. This is very advanced Krishna consciousness. But as devotees progress, then they gradually feel more and more like that. That many of the things that really attracted them before for Krishna consciousness, but after some years, particularly after, like, in our cases, about 50 years almost, then all those things that one thought was very nice, were very nice, they, you don't take them seriously. Just like, not that I'm advanced, because I'm not, but I can tell you that previously I was on the beach. I was surfing and boating and swimming and sailing, really diving, really a lot. And I was very attached to it. But now, having the gift of Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, if devotees tell me that, oh, we're going to the beach, you want to come, then I think just every time I'll tell them it's okay. Yeah, I've got things to do here. And things to do here means better things which give me more satisfaction than just going to the beach. I remember many years ago, it was what? In the early 80s. From our temple in Cato Ridge, we would go to the beach in Durban. And, I, of course, from a swimming and surfing and all that type of background, I was able to swim well. And having surfed, I understood how the waves were moving and what directions the water was running in. It's a little bit of a science. So every time we would go to the beach, without fail, I, and sometimes along with another devotee, we would save the life of at least one devotee every time. Because, you know, these are surf beaches. It's the water is moving and quite powerfully. So, yeah. Anyway, okay, so much for that. But the point is that through Krishna consciousness, one gets the higher taste. And when one has the higher taste, then things to do with the lower taste, like hanging out on the beach, they don't mean so much. They eventually don't mean anything. One would rather keep fully engaged in devotional service because that's where the nectar is. Yes, so that's what he says in verse 58. Greedy to taste the pleasure of devotion to him, they have no desire for anything else. To them, liberation, heaven and hell, all appear the same. Oh yes. So even though one doesn't pay off the debts to the demigods, family members, and sages, like Prabhupada's a sage, then still, if you just take fully to devotional service, then you'll be let off. If there's still some outstanding debts, they'll let you off. All right. All right. They're free from selfish concerns. They have no interest in some personal gain by going to Vaikuntha or being in Vaikuntha. Their basic idea is whatever the Lord wants. That's what we do. That's all. And in the purport here, Lord Shiva is quoted, 6th canto, chapter 17, verse 28. Let me just read the Sanskrit also. It's a real classic verse spoken by Lord Shiva to Durga. Narayana parasarve na kutaschana bibhyate swargapa varga narake shu apitulyarta darshana. Translation. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. And that you can do anywhere. You can do it in the heavenly planets. You can do it in the middle planets, like on this planet Earth. You can do it in the hellish planets. You can do it if you're liberated. So it doesn't really matter. Just keep engaged in the service of the Lord. Okay, and verse 59. Truly I tell you, such devotees are as limitlessly dear to me as the Supreme Lord himself. My highest ambition is to have their company. So, yes. And again, Lord Shiva is quoted from the Bhagavatam in the purport. This is 4th Canto, chapter 24, verse 30. Lord Shiva says, "You are all devotees of the Lord, and so I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. I know that the devotees also respect me in this way, and that I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am." Okay. Some would challenge that, but it's okay, it's the Bhagavatam. No one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. Verse 16. Let's just check. Okay, 16. "In my opinion, dear Narada, anywhere such devotees are found is actually Vaikuntha Loka. Arguing against this fact would be useless." So we should not be judgmental of the devotees, particularly obviously the very advanced devotees, but ultimately any devotees should not really be taken lightly. It means sincere devotees who are trying to please the Lord, engage in his service, maybe spread his mission like that. So, yeah, wherever you can find such devotees who are heart and soul engaged in the service of the Lord, that place is Vaikuntha. It's already Vaikuntha. And arguing against this would be useless. Yes. So in other words, pure Vaishnavas, pure devotees who are living in the material world are no less glorious than the residents of Vaikuntha. This is the point. Vaishnavas should never be judged by whether they live in Lord Vishnu's kingdom or not, because one who possesses the treasure of Prema Bhakti always has the Lord living with him. And a fairly famous verse is quoted. Padma Purana Uttarakhanda, chapter 92. Verses 21 and 22. Well, actually, it's more or less identical verse is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's just check. Where is it? What's going on? Okay, anyway, looks like it's from Panpapurana. "Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshuva yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami narada." Which means, "My dear Narada, I do not dwell in Vaikuntha or in the huts of the yogis, but I'm always to be found in that place where my devotees sing my glories. That's, you could say, a sort of a bottom line for the Supreme Lord. All right, so let's see now. Text 61. Having drunk the nectar of devotion to Krishna, those devotees forget their material bodies and relationships. Thus, even while living in material bodies, they assume the transcendental nature of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Oh, yes. So, the question, there's a purport here, fairly, it's a moderate, somewhat substantial purport, and it brings up an interesting point, is that the question is, how can devotees living on earth and devotees living in Vaikuntha be equal? Because the residents of the material world have material bodies. The residents of the spiritual world, they don't have material bodies at all. Rather, they have pure spiritual bodies. Yes. So, how then, how could you equate the two? Those who have bodies made of the material nature and those who have pure spiritual bodies. Well, in the purport it says, it's because Vaishnavas pay little attention to their gross and subtle material bodies and to bodily relationships. Vaishnavas do not consider the body their own property and so are indifferent in this regard. Having overcome the obstacles of bodily attachment, the devotees living in the material world enjoy the nectar of prema bhakti without distraction and are therefore equal to the residents of Vaikuntha. Even while living in material bodies, the Vaishnavas lead an existence that is completely spiritual, Satchit Ananda. And even the devotees' material body may literally transform into a spiritual body. This happened with Dhruva Maharaj. He climbed onto the Vaikuntha airplane with the Vaikuntha Vasis, offered them respect, and as this was going on, his body became as brilliant and illuminating as molten gold. And if you've ever seen molten gold, it's a fulgent and rich color. It's amazing. So his body, from having been a fairly typical material body, it became transformed into this beautiful, beautiful body which belongs in the spiritual world. The material body has become transformed into a spiritual body. This happened with Dhruva. As he was approaching, there was a number of airships that came to take him. As he was approaching the airships, his body, you know, it's just a matter of seconds that he was running out to join one of the ships. As he was just running out, his body changed. By the time he reached the airplane he was going to get into, his body was effulgent like molten gold from having been a pretty regular material body. So, you know, it happens like that sometimes, or in many cases, you just carry on practicing, and then when you leave this body, then you get a spiritual body. All right, so verse 62. But in Vaikuntha, devotees always relish ongoing pleasure pastimes in the very company of the Lord. Therefore, devotees sometimes prefer to live there in Vaikuntha. Yes, because you get more association with the Lord. Yeah. In the material world, he comes, but it's not often. Not like in Vaikuntha, he's just permanently there 24/7. So, okay. When the personality of Godhead momentarily disappears from the external or internal sight of his devotees in Vaikuntha, his disappearance only increases their eagerness to see him and be with him. In Vaikuntha, even the Lord's absence increases his devotees' awareness of him and their enjoyment of rasa. All right. So, verse 63. It's the last verse, actually, of this section in which Lord Shiva is glorifying the devotees of Vaikuntha. There will be a shift. When we reach verse 64, there'll be a shift of sort of emphasis. But anyway, here now, the last verse of this section, verse 63. That is why I say that the residents of Vaikuntha are greater than everyone else. As the objects of Krishna's special mercy, they are his most beloved devotees. So, let me just read a little. There's a commentary here. The Vaikuntha Vasis are greater than liberated Vaishnavas in the material world, among whom Lord Shiva counts himself. The reason for their various manifest glories, Lord Shiva argues, must be Lord Vishnu's favoring them more than others. They must be his dearest servants. Don't forget, that's the point, isn't it? Who is the dearest to the Lord? Who is receiving the most mercy from the Lord? Yes. So who are the most dear devotees? So now from verse, let's see, 64 to 69, there's really a change in principle. The subject matter becomes that Parvati suggests Lakshmi Devi as the topmost of the residents of Vaikuntha. Yes. Yeah. So Parvati would say that, wouldn't she? Why? Because she's a partial expansion of Lakshmi Devi. Yeah. So, Okay, so Parvati speaks now. Sri Parvati said, furthermore, among them all, the goddess Sri is famous as especially dear to the Lord. She is indeed the ruling goddess of Vaikuntha and its residents. Well, Lord Shiva, the thing is, Lord Shiva's wife Parvati is a partial expansion of Sri or Lakshmi Devi in Vaikuntha. So the thing is, now this is the first time Parvati has spoken for a long time, and she, as an expansion of Lakshmi, when she heard her husband Narayan praise Vaikuntha without mentioning the queen of Vaikuntha, Sri, so Parvati became somewhat disturbed. She therefore took the liberty of speaking out. Okay, so let me just read, there's another couple of sentences here in the purport, verse 64. Everyone who knows the goddess Sri knows that she is the beloved wife of Lord Vishnu. Indeed, one of her names is Haripriya. Jai Haripriya. She is worshipped but with reverence by all the Vaikuntha Vasi. To uphold the claim that Lord Vishnu's consort Sri is his most favored devotee, Parvati will now describe her greatness in more detail. Okay, this is now verse 65. Her mercy expands wherever she casts her sidelong glance. Thus the rulers of the various planets obtain their powers, their knowledge, their detachment, and their devotion. So according to Parvati, the demigods are powerful only by the blessings of Lakshmi Devi, Sri. If she didn't give blessings, they wouldn't have any potency. So it is thanks to Sri that the demigods correctly understand the relative positions of God and the finite living beings, and that they have given up interest in material enjoyment and liberation, and then that they become devotees of the Lord. At least in some cases. It's only by Lakshmi's mercy, Sri's mercy. Let's see. Here's an interesting quote. This is from Vishnu Purana. Where there is patience, opulence arises. And patience also follows opulence. But how can those not favored by the goddess Sri have patience? And without patience, how can they have good qualities? Sure. Now, you know. This is Devasa Muni speaking in Vishnu Purana. So, whatever a person may have good qualities or may have good going for them, it can generally only be by the mercy of Lakshmi Devi. So, Okay, verse 66. Ignoring people like you who worship her with great respect, she vowed to undergo severe penances to worship her beloved Lord, even though he was indifferent to her. Wow. Yeah. Yes. So, ignoring people who worship her. She's another one of these demigods. Type of a demigod. I mean, she's upper level demigod. And she has a duty as given to her by the Lord to supply money to people. Yes. She has a duty like that to be merciful to those who worship her. But as Lord Shiva says, there at least one time she vowed to undergo great penances in order to get the mercy of the Lord, the direct attention of the Lord, even though he was different to her. So, yeah, it's her duty to help people who worship her by giving them material things. But she just said, forget it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go and take shelter of the Lord. That's what she did. So she has her example of surrender is a very wonderful example of surrender. She willingly accepts any difficulty and any menial service just to please him. Although he, being satisfied in himself, does not need anyone's help to fulfill his desires. So therefore many Vaishnavas, they take shelter of Mother Lakshmi, her example of perfect surrender, hoping to get her mercy and to be able to follow into her footsteps. Yes. Here's an interesting point. The Supreme Goddess Mahalakshmi is the eternal beloved of the Lord of Vaikuntha. She does not have to worship him to achieve him, because she's permanently there. But her expansions descend as avatars to accompany the various incarnations of Narayan. And some of these avatars of Mahalakshmi, such as the daughter of Bhrigu Muni, are described in Vedic scriptures as performing penances to obtain the Lord as their husband. Yeah. It's part of Leela, really. All right, so let's have a look. Verse 67. This most perfect of chaste wives resides forever on his beautiful chest and follows him in all his incarnations. And there's a purport here. One of Mahalakshmi's expansions is the Lakshmi who controls and dispenses the opulences of this material world. Those who seek this Lakshmi's grace know from their experience that she is fickle, chanchala, but the original Lakshmi is never unsteady in her devotion to Lord Narayan. She always stays in his company, residing on his chest and following wherever he goes. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? Lakshmi within the material world is Chanchala. But the original Lakshmi is not Chanchala or flickering or fickle. She's focused. She always is focused on the Lord. So now, having heard this, Narada, he wants to go. He really wants to go. So let's read verse 68 and then 69, where he expresses his enthusiasm, having heard from Parvati. Sri Parikshit said, then the sage, his mind vibrating with extreme delight, called out, glories to you, O husband of the goddess Kamala, O Hari, Lord of Vaikuntha. And 69, which is the last verse in this little section, and then tomorrow we'll go into the next section. So he continues, glories to you, O Vaikuntha world, glories to all who live there, and glories to you, O Padma, Lord Krishna's beloved, O presiding goddess of Vaikuntha. So, let me just read the purport. Having heard Lord Shiva and Parvati's description of the glories of Vaikuntha, its residence, and its presiding goddess, Narada was overwhelmed with ecstasy. Although the Supreme Person was currently present on earth in Dwarika, Narada forgot this and wanted to go at once to Vaikuntha, expressing his ecstasy. First he praised Lord Narayan, then his kingdom and its residence, and then and then finally the greatest devotee in Vaikuntha, Sri Mahalakshmi. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki. Srila Sanan Goswami ki jai. Go Premanandi.